one verse in chapter 27 tonight. That's a little unusual. Usually we have a passage, but this verse is a paragraph in and of itself. And so I want to speak tonight from chapter 27, book of Proverbs. And if you're able to stand in honor of God's word tonight, join me there. Thank you so much, folks, for all the good, the special music, the choir song, the instrumental over, orchestra over here. It was a blessing tonight, and the good special. Verse 20, you're in chapter 27. I'm going to read verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never man are never satisfied. I want to emphasize that first phrase tonight, hell and destruction are never full, and preach always room for one more. Always room for one more. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Thank you for this first Sunday of this spring campaign. And Lord, it excites my heart to think what maybe we could see happen the next several weeks. And it's not a work of man. It's a work of your Spirit. And we certainly need you, and I need you tonight, all of us do. If we're going to get anything good out of this, it has to be from you and your Spirit helping us. So we give ourselves to you now for a few minutes. Help us to shut out the things of this world and look to you. Help us to look up and to look into the book and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Proverbs is a book of wise sayings, sometimes referred to as maxims. By definition, a maxim is an established principle admitted as true. Any maxim found in Scripture is true because we know that's the book of God from cover to cover. It is truth. In this chapter, chapter 27, like many of the chapters in Proverbs, many of the verses are a paragraph to themselves, and such is the case with verse number 20. Solomon pens about two things that are never full. The two things that are never full are hell and destruction. And the two go together. The destruction he's writing about is the perishing that takes place in hell. You read that word in your book. You read it in your Bible. Perish or perishing. And it's a little bit stronger than just destruction. This destruction does not happen on earth, but in the eternal home of those lost and apart from God. This is not destruction in the sense of a building being hit by a bomb or tornado or some other calamity of nature. Perish means to destroy. It means to abolish. It means to ruin. And the kind of destruction that is synonymous with perishing only happens in hell, which the Bible tells us is never full. Never full. I had the privilege of hearing Dr. Bill Rice, Sr. preach. I might have been junior, but not Bill Rice III. This is Bill Rice, Sr. preach in person after I got saved. He was a cowboy-type preacher, had a down-to-earth approach in his messages. His famous child-rearing message was love 'em, lick 'em, and learn 'em. And it was that kind of preaching that Bill Rice was known for. And he had a stroke later in life. So when he preached and I heard him, he was battling through the results of that stroke. He and his wife, Kathy had a deaf daughter. And because of that, they were concerned about deaf people having opportunities when it comes to ministry. And they started the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And they had specific weeks for deaf people to come. And they also had weeks for hearing people. And I think this church years ago used to go to the Bill Rice Ranch. I remember Jack Lewis telling me that every year a bus broke down. And that's common going to camp. But anyway, it's still in operation today down in Tennessee. Now, I believe on Friday at the end of the camp week, they had a cowboy breakfast that you could attend instead of eating the regular camp breakfast. You had to pay a little extra for it, if I remember right. Jack Hiles spoke at the camp every summer, and he, every time he did, he went on that cowboy breakfast, and he was riding a horse out to one of those special breakfasts when another pastor who was attending the camp rode up beside him and started talking with him and began to question him. And he said, Pastor Hiles, he said, why do you make so much of soul winning? Why do you make such an emphasis on soul winning? And why do you have all those buses? And that has to be quite expensive. Why do you go to all of that extreme? And Dr. Howes looked at him and asked a question. He said, "Is there a hell? Is there a hell?" And that was it. That was his answer. And if I remember the story right, and I heard it several times, but if I remember it several years ago, if I remember it right, the pastor just kind of turned his horse and rode off. What are you going to say to that? Yes, there is a hell. And Solomon said destruction or perishing happens there, and it is never full. Never full. I'm not going to say anything new tonight. I want this message to be a reminder about that place where there's always room for one more. Always room for one more. Number one, folks, listen very carefully. Hell is a place. Now, Bible deniers speak of it as being only a figment of somebody's imagination, but Jesus did not speak of it in that way. Jesus spoke of hell as a real place. People are quick and they're even eager to believe that heaven is a real place. And it is. Thank God for it. And Jesus spoke of it often, but just as Jesus spoke of heaven as a real place, he also spoke of hell as a real place as well. In fact, he talked about the place called hell more than he did the place called heaven. And Jesus should know that hell is real as a real place because he was there when it was created. Now, in Matthew 25, we won't go there, Jesus said that the everlasting fire of hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, think about that. There was no devil in the original creation of angelic beings. Are you listening? No devil. No Satan. In the original creation of angelic beings. There's this innumerable group of those cherubs. That's what the Bible says. And only three, maybe four, if Abaddon or Apollyon is not Satan, he's the warden of the bottomless pit in Revelation. But there's at least for sure three of the innumerable angels named in Scripture. Jesus was there. You remember the story. For sure, Lucifer, the musical angel, he's mentioned in Isaiah. And then Gabriel, the messenger angel, and Michael, the warrior angel, they're both mentioned in the book of Daniel. There's no Satan or devil at the time of their creation. But Lucifer, in self-will and full of pride, fell in the original sin, and he took a third of the angels with him. And the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't know. I'm just throwing a thought out there tonight. So hell must not be a part of the eternal past. Must not be a part of the eternal past. Because when God created the angelic realm, there's no Lucifer. There's no devil. There's no Satan. There's this archangel, this anointed cherub by the name of Lucifer. And there's Michael and Gabriel, and then a host of innumerable angels that we don't know their names. God prepared a place for them. When that rebellion took place in heaven, God created a place for them consisting of everlasting fire. Again, all of this evidently before the creation of man. Because we meet the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. By that time, hell was prepared for the fallen angelic creation. Bottom line, church, God did not create hell for man. But when Adam, the head of the human race, sinned against God, the punishment that was made for the fallen angels became man's punishment as well. So if anybody could talk about hell being a real place, it would be Jesus Christ. Amen. And maybe we needed Jesus to tell us about it. Maybe we wouldn't even want to believe in it if anybody other than Jesus had told us about it. Because it's such a horrible place. Such an awful place. It's a terrible place. But it is a real place. Hell is a place as real as heaven. The eternality, now think about this, the eternality of both places is the only similarity they share. Now let that sink in for a minute. The eternality of both places Heaven's a place of eternality. Hell is a place of eternality. And that's the only similarity they share. One is a place of screaming. The other of singing. The other of screaming. One is a place of peace. The other of chaos. One is a place of light. The other of darkness. One has mansions to live in. The other has a sensation of constant falling. One has pleasant greetings. The other has blasphemous cursings. One has beautiful angels. The other snarling devils. One has joy. The other deep sorrow and grief. One has rejoicing. The other has regret. One has no pain. The other has constant pain. One has Jesus. And the other has Satan. Their eternality is their only similarity. Everything else is a huge contrast. Hell is a place. There's a second thought tonight about this. Number two, hell has people. Now that's sad to think about, isn't it? Or do you not think about it? Maybe that's our problem. It's sad to think about it. Hell is the abode of those fallen angels. They're reserved in many of them, not all of them. They're reserved in chains, in darkness. They'll be released on earth during the tribulation period. You talk about a difficult time on earth, friend, when that horde is released on planet earth out of the bottomless pit. All those devils that have been chained up down there. But think about this. All the people who were destroyed in the flood are suffering destruction in hell. All of them, except for eight. Goliath is there. So is Pharaoh. Belshazzar is there. These are not fiction people. This is not some Jack and the Beanstalk. These are real people. Belshazzar is there, joined by the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. Eglon, king of Moab, is there, alongside Antiochus Epiphanes. The murderous King Herod is there, who had all the boy babies in Bethlehem, 2 years of age and younger, killed. Grabbed out of the arms of their mothers, screaming mothers, and slain with the sword by the Roman soldiers. He's there, along with the rich man who walked away from Christ, sorrowing because he had much riches. The rich man whose house Lazarus lived by is there. And probably his five brothers. Hell's a place. And it's a place that holds people. The cursing thief on the cross next to Jesus is there, along with Nero, who had Paul killed. Saddam Hussein is there. So is Adolf Hitler. So is Osama bin Laden. Mayo Saddam joins them, and so does Pol Pot. Lenin and Stalin and Khrushchev are in torment there together. And of course, Judas Iscariot. He's there. They're all there because they all died without Christ. Hell has people. So is Pete from Iowa, who walked across the little living room to where I was sitting, and pointed at his pacemaker, and he said, "I've got 10 more years to live with this pacemaker. I got plenty of time." And then 3 days later, he died. So was the father-in-law of one of our members from years gone by, who died at St. Mary's in his bed, shaking, sweating, turning red. "It's hot, it's hot." That's how he died. I didn't get that secondhand, folks. I didn't read that in a book. A member of our church from years gone by who was standing in that room saw that happen with his eyes. Don't kid yourself. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Hell has people. And more people are gathering in that place because the Bible says hell is never full. Right. There's always room for one more. It enlarges itself as the years go by and gets fuller and fuller, but it's never full. There's always room for one more. Hell is a place, and hell is a place that has people. Let me say number three tonight, and this is very sad, that hell has pain. Three times in Luke 16, not a parable, a real account, Jesus told about that rich man who died and lifted up his eyes in hell. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. Get that out of your mind. He went to hell because he died without Christ. But three times the word torment is used by the Lord Jesus as he told that account of the rich man who died and lifted up his eyes in hell. And he asked for Lazarus, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now you think about it. Lazarus, the beggar, the dogs came and licked his sores as he sat at the rich man's gate. Lazarus was discomforted on earth, and the rich man lived comfortably. But after both men died, Lazarus was comforted, and the rich man was tormented. Lazarus was discomforted for a short while on earth. The rich man is still discomforted tonight. Still in torment. Because hell has pain. What are those torments? Well, one of those is fire. And I'm sorry. I mean, Billy Graham did a lot of wonderful things in the early years of his ministry, but toward the end, he just got off the rails and talked about fire. Hell didn't have real fire. I'm sorry, folks. You're going to have to find. You're going to have to cut that. You're going to have a Swiss cheese New Testament in the Gospels. If you cut the word fire out of there. And most of those came from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. That's what Jesus said about hell. He said it was a place of fire. You know, I told you before, the Bible college that I went to prepared us for a lot of wonderful things. They really helped us with funerals and weddings and how to make visits and how to do this. A lot of methodology that was very helpful in church ed. And they told us about going into a hospital room, making a hospital visit. But until you've done that, I was not personally prepared for making hospital visits where people were suffering. To watch your members suffer. And I've told the story before about the little 6-year-old girl, the house caught on fire, and she was upstairs and they couldn't get her out, and she lived, but she was burnt over, I don't know, 90% of her body, second and third degree burns. And I went to the hospital. She didn't live. She passed away. 6 years of age. I went to the hospital. I went to the burn unit. My first trip to the University of Iowa, University Hospital at Iowa City, to the burn unit. And I'll tell you something. It's a horrible place to go. I don't know if you've ever been in a burn unit. It's horrible. I remember walking down the hall to the room, hearing the screams coming from another room. This young black girl had been burned in a fire, and they were changing her bandages. And her screams were just... I can't describe it to you. The pain involved in that. Then to go in that room and see that little girl's body there. She eventually passed to heaven. Thank God we had her name on a little decision card from Junior Church. She trusted Christ as her Savior, six years of age. It was awful. It's awful. So why is this? Why are you doing this message tonight? Because we don't think about it much. Then the Bible speaks of people gnashing their teeth. Gnashing their teeth because of outer darkness. Gnawing their teeth. Some kind of pain caused by the outer darkness. Maybe you got an explanation. Some of you guys that have been reading the Bible longer than I have and maybe studying it better. I don't know. I just know this. I can't explain it, but when I read that verse, I cringe. It's awful. Right. It's terrible. Right. It is set. I can't think of anybody I dislike or disdain so badly that I would want them to be there. Right. It's horrible. Horrid. So I don't know what all the gnashing of teeth is all about, and the screaming and the constant sense of falling in the bottomless pit. Hell has pain. And can I tell us this tonight, church number four? I never thought about this till this week, but did you know that hell is a promise? As much as eternal life in heaven is a promise for all who trust Christ to save them, hell is a promise for all who don't. That's a part of John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 that we don't often consider. Both those verses say this: whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Wonderful, but what happens to the multitudes who don't believe in him? They perish. They perish. They are promised they will perish in that place of complete destruction, because hell is a promise. For 6,000 years of human history, a place that was never intended to be housed, the house of any mankind, any man, any woman, any boy or girl. For 6,000 years, hell has never been full. This place of people, pain, and promise has never been satisfied. There's always room for one more. Pastor, why have a program every spring and fall designed to expose more people to the gospel? Why use tithe money on promotions? Maybe we need to build. We could use some of that money, set it aside. Why use it on promotions to encourage people to come hear the Word of God preached? Why have four organized times per week for people to pair up and go out to seek for the one lost sheep? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? And I want to say this tonight in the right spirit. I really believe with all of my heart that all able-bodied people should be involved in the search for those lost sheep.
That's good. Yes, sir.
There are those who feel as though they are somehow exempt from the responsibility to go. Can I say that having children has never exempted anyone from going?
Amen.
Nobody's off the hook because you have babies. No full-time ministry servant is exempt.
Amen.
I can't be so busy in administration and studying for messages that I don't have time to go out and try to witness to people. I'm not exempt from that. No staff member is exempt from that.
Amen.
No teacher in a Sunday school class is exempt from that.
Amen.
No teacher in a school or a homeschool. Homeschool does not exempt you from going out. I'm busy. Join the crowd. Join the crowd. Everybody's busy. What are we busy about? Secretaries, musicians, singers, doesn't matter. Those that don't ever sing or preach or teach, just come faithfully week after week. Yeah, the devil is slick. You know that he's slick. How many of God's people spend hours in chat rooms, online discussion groups that concern prophecy, end time events, digital currencies, who is the Antichrist, all this stuff about which there is no certainty. And the one thing that is certain, that hell is never full. We have no time for that. We chase the uncertainties and ignore the certainty that there's always room for one more in that awful place called hell. Why have a bus ministry that costs several thousand dollars in repairs and insurance and fuel and maintenance? Why do so many people have to miss church services, tending to classes and watching children and taking care of all these kids? Why? We could ask a thousand wise folks, is there a hell? You know, tonight, some people should throw in the towel. Tonight, some of you should throw in the towel of resistance to this matter of going with the gospel.
Amen.
Time's running out, folks, and you're always going to get to it. Always going to get to it. Tonight, someone should just cross over the line of decision and determine, I'm going to obey God. The place of people, pain, and promise is never full. So put your embarrassment behind you and put the discomfort behind you and quit hiding behind every excuse and stop passing the buck and just put an end to it. Full stop. Stop. And just obey God. Because they're not going to stop going there. It's never full. There's always room for one more in that place called hell. But you and I just might be the one that God uses to turn one more away from that place that's never full. Never full. This is just a reminder tonight on why we do this. Why this ministry has some of the ministries that it has. Because there's a place that's never full. Always room for one more. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? To turn one more away from that place. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll use the simple message tonight to speak to our hearts. Lord, my heart is excited and I'm thrilled and I just, Lord, long to see you work in our midst. We've been praying for that and asking for that. And Lord, truthfully, this is really what it's all about. Eternity awaits. And oh God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help anyone with a resistant heart and spirit to just throw in the towel tonight. Lord, if somebody's just been thinking, I'll get to it, I'll get to it, I'll get to it, I pray they cross that line of decision tonight. Thank you for the many that have. But Lord, it shouldn't end at the last week of this special time because hell is never full. There's always room for one more. And I thank you, dear God. I don't know. There's a lot of professions of faith this week. I trust that they were sincere. I don't know who's sincere and who's not. God, all I know is it's a work of your Spirit. And thank you for every sincere heart that was turned to you in faith, believing this week and trusting you, Lord Jesus, for salvation. And Lord, that's one more turned away from that place that's never full. So I pray you'd give our church a burden. And Lord, give us a spirit of obedience and help us, Lord, to see the importance of this matter because of this awful place of people, pain, and a promise that always has room for one more. Help us tonight, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I just want to encourage you, church. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. But this is real. This is not some game. Hell's a place populated by people who are in pain, and they promised, it was a promised place because they died without Christ. You can be involved in helping to turn one more away from that place that's never full. If you can't physically walk up a street, you can pray. You can put a tract in your pocket and give it to the attendant at the gas station. Wherever you eat a meal, leave it for the waiter or waitress. Because the place called hell, there's always room for one more. I want to ask tonight, if there's somebody here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and you understand that hell is a real place and it's a promised place for those who die without Christ and you're not sure that you're saved and that concerns you tonight, we have good news for you. You can be saved tonight. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved? Just slip your hand up. Slip it up where I can see it. I'll pray for you tonight. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. You don't want to go to that awful place. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we have the music tonight. Always room for one more. I'm scared. I'm scared that I just won't win them to Christ. It's not even that, folks. It's just talking to them about the gospel. It's presenting that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. I wasn't successful yesterday in winning Charles. It didn't happen. There's no conviction. But when he came this morning, there was conviction. Charles got saved. One was turned away from that place that's never full. Might seem a little strange on a Sunday night to preach on the subject of hell. But we're the ones that need to be thinking about it. God help us. Young people, when you go out this Wednesday on that soul-winning bus with Brother Andrew and Brother Bragg, think about that. Would you think about that for a minute before you get off the bus? Would you think about that? Before you go out this week, 10 o'clock, all these church-wide soul-winning times, 10 o'clock, 3:15, 5:30, 9:30. Would you remember that? It's never full. Always room for one more.